Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
More now on the retirement that Richard Hake just reported on of a New York City congressman after 30 years in office, Adolphus Towns, an African-American Democrat who has sometimes been considered a rival of Al Sharpton's, who endorsed Rudy Giuliani for re-election in 1997, has confirmed that he will not seek re-election against two strong Democratic primary challengers, Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries and City Councilman Charles Barron. This is the 10th congressional district, which includes Fort Greene, Bedford-Stuyvesant, Mill Basin, Cypress Hills, Canarsie, and East New York. Era Lewis, host of Inside City Hall on New York One, who had some experience with Brooklyn politics himself in an earlier life, joins us now on this changing of the guard and the coming New York primaries in general. Hi, Errol. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
So why did Congressman Ed Towns decide to give up his reelection bid? They all say they want to spend more time with their families.
Well, I'll tell you, in his case, it's actually true. I know his family a little bit. I know his kids. I've met some of his grandkids, as a matter of fact. He's got five grandchildren, and they're wonderful, wonderful kids.
Uh-huh. And he's 77 years old.
And, you know, it has a lot more resonance when he talks about how his good friend, Donald Payne, the congressman from Newark, who recently passed away, they were about the same age. Apparently, according to Congressman Towns, they'd talked a lot about what they would do when they finally left Congress, and he saw his buddy never get a chance to do those things. And I think that, plus the fact that although most of the district was the same district he'd represented for so long, Congressman Towns was going to pick up about 30% of a district, including parts of, you know, Howard Beach and Coney Island, where he really had never been before. You know, he'd never represented them before. And so he'd have to go out and introduce himself to those people. And then I guess last but not least, the lines were drawn in a way that he actually was not living in the district. And that, you know, it's not illegal. You know, he could certainly run and he could represent a district without living in it. But even though he was just a few blocks outside of it, that certainly would have been a potent issue in this race as well. Very, very, very hard to get introduced to new people and say, and by the way, I don't live in your district.
And he had been seen as vulnerable for whatever reason in a number of recent election years, although no other Democrat was able to break through in the primaries. Kevin Powell, Brooklyn activist, also known for his role on MTV's Real World years ago, tried twice and lost. Charles Barron tried once before and lost. If people like that are trying, they must have seen Towns as politically weak enough in recent years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Roger Green ran in 2006.
Right,
Barry
Assembly
Ford made a couple of attempts in 1998 and I think again in 2000. Everybody saw something that they could exploit. However, this man is retiring undefeated after
30 years.
You know, after,
15
yeah, after about
races.
30 years. So he clearly knew something they didn't know. I think what happens is Ed Towns is a very personable guy. He had been a district leader, which is the lowest level of sort of party functionary, unpaid party functionary, for about 20 years before he ever went to Congress. I mean, he really was a community guy. He sort of was trained as a social worker. He sort of had that kind of a touch with people who were in trouble. He connected with them, and they liked him. You know, and he was there year in and year out, and he was always the guy who'd be throwing a party or showing up on major occasions and speaking at graduations and moving throughout the community. He was by no means invisible, although his opponents would charge him with that. And he did a heck of a job in that district. They really did love him out there in East New York.
Is there an Ed Towns legacy, though, that extends beyond the district or that really served the district? You know, in terms of citywide recognition or beyond, if you say Charlie Rangel, everybody knows the name. If you said Anthony Weiner, until what happened, everybody knew the name. I don't think Ed Towns has that kind of name recognition outside his district, and I can't think of any famous legislation with his name on it.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's what we've seen this before, right? We've had, usually with our U.S. senators from New York, there's the show horse and the workhorse, right? I mean, we called Al D'Amato Senator Pothole, and, you know, he spent a couple of terms in Congress, and one would be hard-pressed to point to anything he did that was of lasting national sort of tombstone significance, but you can point to a whole bunch of buildings and a whole bunch of projects and a whole bunch of developments that he was involved in. Ed Towns, I think, sort of was cut from the same cloth. He represents a district that, even now, has the highest crime in the city, has the highest foreclosure rates in the city, has some of the worst, most intractable problems all right there. I mean, the public housing alone in his district, I mean, it's just tremendous. Thousands and thousands of units, lots and lots of people with lots and lots of needs. And so he's from a generation, and again, his social work background and representing a district where just trying to make sure people have what they need to hang on is kind of a job and a half. What he did in Washington, no, was his name front and center on pieces of signature legislation? Not that I know of. I know that he was a crucial vote and a controversial vote at times on several pieces of legislation, including the Central American Free Trade Agreement.
Right.
He took a lot of heat for that one.
From unions especially.
Absolutely.
And we'll get into some of the other controversial things he did as we talk about the legacy of Congressman Ed Towns, now retiring after 30 years in office representing parts of Brooklyn. And I want to hear from people in the district. What do you want in a member of Congress? What do you need? And what was Ed Towns' legacy for you, if you have an opinion about him? If you're in Fort Greene or Bed-Stuy or Mill Basin, Cypress Hills, Canarsie, or East New York, call us up and tell us any way that you see the legacy of Congressman Adolphus Towns and what you want from a member of Congress representing you in your district. Now, I don't want to run the race here between Hakeem Jeffries and Charles Barron, not really at that level between the two individuals. Tell us what you want, though, from a member of Congress representing you if you live in Fort Greene, Bed-Stuy, Mill Basin, Cypress Hills, Canarsie, or East New York. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 is the number, or you can post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Again, Ed Towns' legacy, according to you, if you live in his district, and what do you want from a member of Congress in Fort Greene, Bed-Stuy, Mill Basin, Cypress Hills, Canarsie, East New York, 212-433-9692, as we continue with Errol Lewis, host of Inside City Hall. Let's see. Critics say he's been soft on some powerful constituencies, like Countrywide Financial after the banking crisis. He had gotten a VIP loan from them. Also, the telecommunications industry, because he was one of few Democrats to oppose net neutrality legislation. He supported Central American Free Trade, as you said. The unions were upset with him for that. He supported Giuliani for re-election as mayor in 1997. Rudy Giuliani anathema in the neighborhoods that Towns represents in large measure. So tell us if something ties together these cases in which he went against the grain of his party.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I think what ties them together is that he was a sort of a very practical politician. He was not he felt he had enough strength, and I guess he proved it at the polls every 2 years for, you know, a generation. He felt he was strong enough in his district that he could explain to people why he made certain trades, that, you know, he didn't have the luxury of a liberal from the East Side to sort of yell at the mayor back when Giuliani was the mayor, to yell at the mayor and make a big show of turning his back on him. He didn't feel, I'm speaking for Ed Towns, but this is my sense and what I've heard him say, that he didn't have the luxury of being able to do that when he's got these thousands and thousands of poor people out here that he has to do something for, and that if he needs to get something from a Republican Congress or he needs to get something from a hostile Republican-led administration at City Hall, he would do it. He would do it, and he would, you know, he would suffer the consequences. And he took quite a lot of heat. I think that endorsement of Giuliani earned him the first run by Barry Ford, a young Harvard law graduate who went after him in 1998 and you know, kind of drove him crazy for a few months, and then came back and ran against him again. This is a style of politics. It might not be what you or I would do, but it is what he did. It's what his constituents, if they didn't ask for it, they certainly didn't penalize him for it. And, you know, I I think, you know, it's real interesting, Brian, when you, as you talk about this, like, what do you want out of a congressman? I don't usually think of it that way, mm-hmm. because when it comes to Brooklyn, at least, I think almost purely like a constituent. And even though I'm not in that district, I'm sort of right near the border,
uh-huh.
but I'm in a similar part of a similar district. When I hear people talking about what they're going to do and how they're going to go down and, you know, sass the Tea Party down in Washington, D.C., I start thinking about the garbage that isn't picked up, the homeless shelter that's, you know, running amok, the public housing where things are deteriorating, and I wish I could get people to focus more on that. And Ed Towns was one of those guys where I never had to really do that.
It's an interesting observation because people don't think of that as Congress's job, mm. right? The things that you just mentioned, people tend to think of that as more of the job of the city council or city agencies or community board even or the state level perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But how does a member of Congress influence those things?
Well, you should keep in mind, I mean, in New York, and I don't think it's peculiar to Brooklyn nor to this part of Brooklyn, to central Brooklyn, but the member of Congress is sort of the titular political leader for that whole area. I mean, I don't know of any place in the city where the city council members or the state senators, with very few exceptions, consider themselves superior to or in no way tied to the member of Congress. First of all, they all want that job, you know, but also there's you know, they have more resources. They bring more to the table. They can convene people who might be feuding on little local issues. They have a sort of a broader grasp of a larger slice of the city, and usually they've come up through the ranks, so they've left something in their wake, whether it's a trail of political clubs or with, I think, only three exceptions in the New York City delegation, everyone served at a lower level. Ed Towns was actually one of those three exceptions, Nydia Velasquez and Bob Turner being the others. But they usually have served in some kind of local office before getting to Congress. So, you know, as long as I can remember, and it's not, again, it's not just Central Brooklyn. You know, I mean, Jerry Nadler is kind of like the political, quote-unquote, boss of the West Side.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really happens over there that he doesn't know about. And God knows, Charlie Rangel, nothing happens in Harlem at any level of government that he doesn't at least know about, if not approve. And the same was true in Central Brooklyn.
I want to play one clip before you go of Kevin Powell on the show in 2010 running against Ed Towns. He was willing to use some pretty strong language against him.
Yeah, what we have in Brooklyn is what I call a ghetto monarchy, where they're basically trying to hold on to their power for a handful of people at the expense of the masses of people in the 10th District, from Borough Hill and Fort Greene, where I live, all the way out to East New York. That's the real issue. What is the matter with the leadership that we have that has been lazy and dishonest and disrespectful to the American people?
Powell said ghetto monarchy, and his reaction yesterday after the news broke about Towns not running for re-election is that he thinks it's good for Brooklyn and for New York City politics. Didn't really have anything nice to say about him. And then he went on to say that he hoped Charles Rangel follows Towns out the door, even though Powell's not running against him. Powell doesn't live in Rangel's district, to let some younger black leaders step up, because he says, quote, it's not just about race, politics, and voting because someone is black. That's not good enough in 2012. You actually have to deliver services and goods to the community. Your reaction? What about this generational?
Brian, are you talking about the same Kevin Powell who owes the IRS between $600 and $1.3 million that he never paid? Is that the Powell who wants to serve this community?
He did have that little problem, and we noticed that he's not.
It's a little problem, and I won't even get into the arrests for, you know, hitting and abusing various people. I mean, this putting the spokesperson aside, one always hears that from people who are younger. And look, I mean, once upon a time, I ran my own race, and I certainly made use of that theme, or meme, if you want to call it that, that, you know, well, it's time for a new generation and so forth and so on. Well, that's for the voters to decide. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Powell put himself forward twice, and the voters said, well, you're not the guy, you know, or maybe it's not time for a new generation. So I don't know if change in and of itself gets you very far. I mean, it doesn't get you very far as a message. I think we've seen that over and over again. You know, there's an argument for seniority. You know, why invest 20 or 25 years in a guy and then get rid of him in exchange for a freshman of a minority party who will be able to bring home precisely nothing initially to their district?
I know you got to go. Do you agree with what I read in print? And I haven't followed this aspect of his career. Was he considered a rival of Al Sharpton's? Rivals of each other?
No, I think there was a little bad blood between them. I think they scrapped over some long forgotten, you know, school board races out in Brownsville once upon a time. Al Sharpton, of course, is from Brooklyn, so there was that added to it, and I guess they'd been tangling over various issues for a long, long time. But Al Sharpton, you know, the seat was possibly his for the asking. There were those who tried to talk him into doing it, but as we know, Al Sharpton has a much more interesting job just being Al Sharpton than any congressional district could ever offer him.
I guess so. And Errol Lewis has a pretty interesting job being Errol Lewis, the host of Inside City Hall every night at 7 on New York 1 and 10 o'clock as well. Thank you.
Thank you,
Errol.
Bye-bye.
And to some of your calls on Ed Towns' legacy, according to you, if you live in the district and what you want from a member of Congress, if you live in Fort Greene, East New York, Canarsie, and thereabouts. Sanjit in Fort Greene, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
Sanjit, how you doing?
I'm good. I just was listening to you call about Adolphus Towns, and I'll never forget him because I had just moved to Fort Greene around 99, and I had my green card, and I was applying for a citizenship, and I kept having problems getting my citizenship to go through. There's all this bureaucratic red tape, and somebody told me, you know, the most important people are your local congressmen, congresswomen. You should go and see if they can help you. And I went to Ed Towns' office, and they were so open to me, and literally, they said they would write a letter for me. And of course, they said, you know, remember us when it comes to election time. And within a couple of weeks, I had got my citizenship put through. And I will always be grateful for that office. And it gave me hope in the fact that local politics can actually be of use to the people that that they're being represented by. And I have always voted for Ed Towns since then, actually.
Good story. Constituent service for Sanjit in Fort Greene, American citizen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Imani in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, that was a nice story. I wish I had the same experience with living in the community for 58 years. Ed Towns is a fixer in the community, but for everyday stuff, it's very hard to get any results from him. My own mother has a story where she's written to him over 5 times to simply get a chair placed in the same office building that he has an office in. And there is never any response from Ed. He's been around too long. I believe Hakeem and Charles Barron will give us a much better break and a lot more services in the community. The community needs services up in Brownsville and up that way. Enough of the stuff down here near the bridge. We know what that's about. But once you go up Fulton Street, the further you go, it is horrendous. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for making it. Susan in Clinton Hill, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning, Brian. Well, I have a slightly different point of view, but I would like to start out by saying that I think 30 years in Congress is too long a career. I think maybe that's part of the problem that we have from our elected officials. They make long careers out of it, and they're not really accountable to us any longer. So I'm very happy to see him retire and have some new people come in. The demographic of a lot of our neighborhoods in Brooklyn has changed tremendously over the last 20, 25 years. I've been in Clinton Hill a long time. The demographic has largely changed. It's now a very upscale, very diverse neighborhood and very different from the way it was when I essentially moved in. I must say that I think what we need more than anything are elected officials who represent all of the people on all points of view, somewhat like Tish James does as our city councilwoman. I think that she identifies with people across the board. And I don't like the thought that all of our elected officials from different areas will be of one color or another. I don't know that I feel happy that this is a black district and that the essential under core of who gets elected is Afrocentric. I don't mind it either, on the other hand, but I don't think that should be the criteria. I think in 2012 we need to look at our elected officials for what their views are and how they can best help and represent all of the people. These districts are very complex now.
Susan, thank you very much. And thanks to all of you who called and weighed in on the legacy of Ed Towns and what you want from Congress in your next representative from that district. That primary, by the way, is in June. Local primaries have not been in June. They've been in September in New York State. But if you're in that district or anyone else that's having a congressional primary in New York State, Charlie Rangel, et cetera, it is Tuesday, June 26th. So mark that down. Tuesday, June 26th for now Hakeem Jeffries versus Charles Barron in the 10th Congressional District with Ed Towns retiring. And anywhere else, there's a primary election in New York Tuesday, June 26th. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Andrew Cuomo and the Obama health reform law. Will the governor create insurance exchanges that empower consumers more or insurance companies more? Stay with us.